Hello and welcome to the Pure Championship podcast, the only podcast solely focusing on the best league in the world, which is quickly turning into the worst league in the world for Cammy and I, the Scottish Championship. I'm Chris Sampson, and like I said, I am joined as ever by Cammy Anderson. We do feel a little bit out of sync with the podcast recently, but we were looking back and it was just last week that we didn't bring you an episode. I was actually off work and it was quite sunny where I am based at the moment, so I was in the garden drinking cider. And Cammy, you started a new job. How's it going?
Yeah, I have. It's been grand, really good to just kind of get going. And yeah, as I say, as grand as it is, it has put us a bit out of sync, but I think anyone listening will be thankful they never had to listen to your drivel whilst you'd had a drink as well. So yeah, we're back and hopefully better than ever today, even if our teams are definitely not doing that well.
Yeah, I think some people maybe have wanted me to talk about Morton after I've had a drink, but we could have been here all night. We're hopefully just going to be here for the next less than an hour or so, back together, reunited, and it's only right that we do start with us both having a bit of a cry about how shite our teams are at the moment. Cammy, give us a summary of what's going on at East End Park with Dunfermline.
Well, the Pars have won one of their last seven games in all competitions. We've won none of our last five. And yeah, just it's an absolute shambles. Obviously, you look at the kind of recent results, 3-2, lost to Dundee. We were leading 2-0 for about 5 minutes and shut the bed. And then if we hadn't shat the bed enough, a few days later, we well and truly shat the bed when we travelled to Fife Rivals, Raith Rovers, and got absolutely dicked 5-1. I mean, there's just no words that can describe this. Obviously, I was very thankful we didn't pod last week for this reason, as I got to kind of avoid talking about it whilst it was still a bit raw. And I mean, this was embarrassing, and I think after the match, everyone was kind of calling for Crawford's head. The fact he then stayed in charge for the Hearts game, I think everyone was just, oh no, here we go again. It's going to be brutal. And even that was said, despite Hearts being pretty pants himself lately, but we did play better. Not that it was that much difficult compared to Tuesday. Came away for a 0-0 draw. And I mean, arguably, probably should have won the match. We had a few decent chances, but just didn't take them. And yeah, it's so annoying and frustrating. I think we say in every podcast how well the Pars started, but since about the 9th or 10th game, we've done nothing. It's just been absolutely terrible to watch. And I mean, it's not been much better for you, Morton, lately. It's not been all that great for you, Morton, either lately, has it?
No, I think our teams are probably going through a bit of a similar situation. It's a bit strange, albeit obviously at different areas of the table. I think one of the things I've spotted with Dunfermline, Cammy, is obviously you've fallen out of playoff spots now, which must be a big worry. We'll get on to Morton in a second, but I was just going to ask you if you were worried about that, if you think that the playoffs are now a little bit out of reach just with the current form of teams around you.
I mean, it's so difficult. I think we've learned from our previous pod where we'd made some predictions that we definitely shouldn't make predictions. I would say the Pars will make the playoffs, but no, my luck, I'd say that and I'd jinx us and we'd finish in the relegation playoffs. And I mean, we're kind of right in the middle and both are still entirely possible. We do have a game in hand. Again, I can't even think who it's against now off the top of my head. Dundee,
yeah.
So like if we win that, we then leapfrog Inverness in fourth and are in the playoffs, but I'd be lying to you if I said I think we can beat Dundee. To be honest, I can't actually see where we'll win again. It's just, we've just kind of really fallen off. It was like a few seasons ago where we lost, I think, 7 of the last 8 and only just survived due to that kind of few wins that we had just before that awful, awful kind of run. And yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to go directly down. I don't think that's quite possible, even as mental as the Championship is. I think Alloa, who we'll obviously get to speak about a wee bit later on, are probably as good as down now. But I mean, you're Morton sitting in 9th only, I think, what, 5 or 6 points behind. I mean, yeah, I think the Pars, for most of the season, they've obviously had teams chasing them, and now it's kind of, we're kind of looking like we've got to get up, but we've also got to be really careful of teams behind us. Queen of the South kind of only 1 point behind, also got a game in hand. Ayr, only, I think, 5 points behind, then Arbroath as well, on the same points as you. So, I mean, yeah, I think making a prediction would be daft. I'd like to hope we could make the playoffs solely for the fact that we'd get that extra cash, and that could be the difference between us maybe getting rid of Crawford and bringing in a bit bigger name manager. I'm not too sure. I think if we miss the playoffs, Crawford will have to go, but maybe that the kind of extra prize money that you'd get, and I think it's quite a big drop off between fourth and fifth alone. Mm-hmm. So that money could really be the difference between bringing in a bigger name manager who could really help the club kick on and make the playoffs kind of year on year and really try and take us where I think many fans want to be, which is the Premiership.
Is that what you think should happen now then in terms of Crawford leaving or does it all hinge on the playoffs for you? Like, if you get into the playoffs and even if you don't get through them and get up, like, is he safe for you, or do you think it should be a change?
I think there should be a change regardless. Obviously, if we go up, I think there will be many that say, well, he's got us up, he deserves a chance. But then, to be fair, as I said recently on the Perf to Paisley Hearts podcast, I don't think the Championship's actually been that good this season. I know we love it and it's mental and all that, but to have managed to have been rubbish for about two-thirds of the season and then go up, it certainly wouldn't fill me with confidence. And I mean, I've not got a lot of confidence in Crawford's managerial ability. Yes, there was everyone saying Crawford's at the wheel early on kind of the season when it was going well, but then I think we've seen so many managers be able to sort situations out, whereas it just doesn't seem like that for Crawford. He's trying to put out a fire with a wee bottle of water. It's not like it's going to ever happen, and it's a shame. He's a club legend, you want to see him do well, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. If we make the playoffs, I think we'd end up embarrassed by either Raith Rovers or Dundee, and you want to make it for the financial side, but I don't think you could ever say a team's not ready to go up, because if you go up, well, you've surely earned that right kind of thing. But yeah, for me, I think either way, Crawford, we kind of need a change. We've got the kind of German owners in place now who obviously weren't in place when Crawford was appointed. I'd like to think they'll, now that things are kind of getting a bit more back to normal, they have said they kind of want to be involved. They've not been as involved due to COVID, that they'll maybe try and look for someone new and kind of start stamping their authority on the team.
I've just had a little Google and I think it's 75 grand. That's the difference between fifth and fourth. That might have changed over the years, but I think this might be an old news article that gives you the kind of split of how it's gone across the SPFL. So, but this says 75 grand, so it's probably not too different from that these days, albeit it might be a little bit more that you do get overall. I think it. Aye, 250k. This says that you get if you finish fifth, and then it's 75 grand more if you finish in the playoff spots in fourth. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, obviously, I think one of the things you said there was Crawford's obviously a club legend, and you wanted him to do well. That was the situation at the start of the season for Morton as well. David Hopkin was somebody that came through the club, and when he got appointed at the start of last season, everybody wanted him to be appointed. We thought that was going to be not the saviour or the messiah or anything like that, but we thought it was going to be a good appointment. Look how that turned out, and then look how this season's turned out with the squad that he built at the start of the season as well. I just think that's what's contributing to a lot of the problems that Morton are having at the moment, and the problems that they've been having for the entire season, to be honest. I think if you look at the season as a whole, we probably don't deserve to stay up, and that feels so harsh for me to say as a fan, but if I'm being honest and you look at it, kind of try and be objective about it, I don't think we deserve to stay up. Obviously, Gus McPherson's come in and we had that initial bounce where we managed to get a win off of Queen of the South, but that is his only win in the league so far. Obviously, he's squeezed past Dunfermline on penalties in the Scottish Cup after another garbage match between our two teams, Cammy, which we both enjoyed. And he just squeezed past East Fife on Saturday just there as well in the next round of the Scottish Cup. So we've got Motherwell to come there, which now, if you're looking at it, is just a kind of unwelcome distraction from trying to stay in the league. Thinking about last night's match a little bit, Inverness Cali didn't even need to get into second gear, never mind getting out of second gear into higher ones. I think it was a 4-1 they didn't need to try to score the goals that they scored. And although the goals that they did score were cracking, we'll probably come on to them in a second when we talk about Cali a little bit more. Poor defending as per from Morton, and poor attacking play, which has been the biggest issue for the whole season so far. Obviously, we got a goal last night, and that puts us one goal ahead now of Arbroath in the goals scored stake for the season. But to be the second lowest goal scorers in the league is pretty poor stuff, especially for a full time team being down there. And you look at the list of goal scorers and Ennis Cameron and Jack Hamilton, who obviously joined Arbroath and Alloa on loan just as we came into this part of the season. They already scored more than Morton's top scorer for the entire season, which I think if you look at it, it might be Aidan Nesbitt on four goals, I think it is. So it's not been a great season. And I've said so many times, every single week when we've done the podcast, it just looks like when we go forward, we don't really have a clue about how we're actually going to score some goals. We're just trying to rely on luck. And that situation hasn't changed across when Hopkin was in charge at the start of the season, when Anton McElholm was in charge for that spell of games. And I don't think Gus McPherson's come in and it's been very, very similar as well. We haven't had that bounce that we maybe wanted to happen when he came in. And if we do stay up, I think we'll be very, very lucky to do so. But at the moment, it's not looking great, sitting in ninth place and looking... I'm not quite looking downwards at Alloa. I think, like you said, they might just be a little bit far back. But that group of three of us, which we will come on to, between Ayr, Arbroath and us in ninth, it's one of the three, and I really don't know who it's going to be at the moment. But I'm obviously hoping that it's not us. But if it is, I think we just need to accept it and move on. And that's not great to say that out loud either.
No, definitely not. And I mean, I think if you look at your fixtures, you can perhaps be a bit thankful that on the kind of final 2 days of the season, you face Alloa, who are obviously bottom, and Arbroath, who are directly above you. So, I mean, when you look at it like that, things kind of do work kind of in your favour. But obviously,
it's almost in our hands. But
you've got to do the business before that as well.
Yeah. All the fixtures that are around that, Cammy, sorry to interrupt you, it's those ones that I'm looking at too, I think. So yeah, we've got Dundee this coming weekend, and then we've got Hearts, which has been moved to the Tuesday night the week after because we're playing in the Scottish Cup. And you look at Ayr, they're playing Dunfermline this weekend, which you, on the balance of form, you can just see Ayr probably picking up a result there, can't you? And then Arbroath and Ayr are playing each other that weekend after when we've got Hearts. So I think there's going to be so much movement over the next 2 weeks, even before those last two games of the season, which it looks like it could be favourable for us, but I think we just need to wait and see what the situation is when we get to those two games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, as we always say, and we've learned, you can't really count anyone out in the Championship, of course, aside from Alloa, and as much as that pains us to say, but between the kind of three teams kind of fighting to avoid that relegation playoff, it's anybody's guess on who will finish there. As you say, very little goals for both yourselves and Arbroath. Ayr have obviously scored a little more, but they've not got too much more. They've got the fourth least. It's just so hard to kind of tell. I think if we're going to be trying to be positive about Morton, I think we can say it's probably in Morton's hands. Just get the two kind of difficult games out the way first, and then at the kind of crunch time of the season, well, we're already kind of on crunch time, but those final 2 weeks could be the difference. And you just think, if you somehow manage to win your final four, you could be in the playoffs.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm ruling that out. But
I mean, it's still possible. Inverness on 33, Dunfermline on 31. So it's not entirely impossible, when stranger things have certainly happened in this league.
No, they definitely have. I think I've been looking at those two last fixtures for basically the entirety of the season and just hoping that they didn't come into play when we got there. But obviously, it looks like they are going to be, and they are absolutely massive fixtures to finish the season. It feels relevant to probably talk about the relegation spots and kind of continue on this topic, Cammy, to be honest. Will we touch on Alloa just quickly as well? You had a quick chat with Kieran Mooney earlier as well, didn't you? But Alloa seem to be doomed, which again, as you said, it feels quite harsh to say.
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting, what is it, 7 or 8 points adrift, and it is going to take a real miracle for them to even make the relegation playoff spot. And it's just, I think Alloa have been the team that we've been waiting to just do something for so long, and it just as it maybe seems like they're going to, they'll maybe pick up a result, and then it looks like they will turn things around, but it just hasn't happened for them, and it does seem like their time in the Championship's going to come to an end in a matter of weeks, sadly.
Do you think one of the things that Kieran wanted us to discuss was Peter Grant? Now, one of the things for me when we touch on Alloa, obviously managers don't really stick around at the Rex for that long. I feel like Peter Grant might be quite ambitious, and I might see him leaving, to be honest, if they do go down, because I don't think he's had a necessarily bad time since he's been in charge, even if he does get them relegated, which maybe feels a bit strange to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've always praised Alloa for their style of play, and I think one of the questions kind of Kieran had said in our conversation was he's been kind of linked with Celtic, with Eddie Howe seemingly on the way in, kind of been linked as an assistant. And I think, if you're going to be honest, Peter Grant obviously played for Celtic. He's going to take that all day, every day. And I think it would be a shame to see him leave Alloa, but at the same time, we've seen so many young managers get a kind of chance at Alloa and blossom. Jack Ross, Paul Hartley, obviously, maybe not quite as good these days, but in fact, saying that, he's at Cove now. He's doing quite well there, but obviously he had his kind of dodgy spell, and then who else was there? Jim Goodwin kind of more recently. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's certainly an attractive job, and you'd imagine that they could probably get themselves up next season, even if maybe only through the playoffs. Still quite a strong league. In League One, Partick Thistle may not make the playoffs, so you'd imagine they'll be the favourites to kind of come up if they don't somehow make it in the playoffs. But
I don't know. I'm looking at League One next season and kind of fearing the worst already with even Morton potentially going down there, because you've got Queen's Park coming up, that Ray McKinnon factor, and obviously the backing that he's had there, with them being very, very ambitious. As you said, if Thistle don't go up this season, then they'll be looking to get out of that league as quickly as possible next season again. If Cove don't come up, which might happen, then again, a very, very ambitious club. And you've got those crackingly run part-time teams as well, which Alloa will become one of next season. But Montrose and East Fife deserve to beat Morton on Saturday. I said that on Twitter. I thought they played really well, and we were lucky to get that last-minute penalty to take it into extra time. But neither of those sides are going to lie down to any teams that are coming up down from the Championship. So I think League One's going to be a very, very tough league next season for anybody that drops into it.
Yeah, it definitely will be, and I'm looking forward to hearing you discussing Morton on the Pure League One podcast next season.
don't even joke about that. It will not be happening. Even if we do go down, I'm not talking about next season. Kieran also asked us, who do we think could be picked off from Alloa's squad? I thought this was quite an interesting question. Have you had a think about it, Cammy?
I mean, in terms of players that Alloa have in their team, I think Kieran's said to us a few times that there was probably a few players in the team that probably shouldn't have been there, maybe stayed on too long. Alloa are a team who obviously really kind of build squads long-term, keep the team together for a few years, and then just kind of blow up and bring kind of a band of players together again. I think, obviously not their player, I think Innes Cameron has also come in and done really well on loan. Obviously didn't do so well at Ayr earlier on in the season, but you'd imagine there will probably be some clubs kind of sniffing around. I'm not sure what his kind of contractual situation is at Kilmarnock, but you'd think there might be some Championship teams maybe fancying him. In terms of other players, so I'm kind of at a loss as to who I could maybe guess or suggest rather. There's not really that many players in that team where you'd go, yeah, you'd want them. Obviously, Alloa are a team who do really well putting a team together, but when it comes to taking the players, I'm not sure there'd be many there. Maybe Heverington, obviously a really good player, but maybe not quite the same player since Ian Flanagan obviously retired at the end of last season, much to our surprise. And I think if Flanagan had still been there, a few clubs would have definitely been in for him, because he was definitely one of the best midfielders in the league last season. But yeah, is there anyone else for you that, am I maybe being a bit harsh?
No, I don't think so. I think that, yes, there's players that are at Alloa that I think I can't imagine them at any other club. And I'm thinking like Alan Trout in there, like Kevin Colley, Andy Graham now as well. I'm only thinking, obviously, because they're part-time, would any of them want to move to full-time football now? Would any of them join Arbroath, with them presumably staying in the league if they do? Would Neil Parry move on to another club? Those are the only things I'm thinking. I think some of them, they do have a couple of cracking young players coming through now. I'm not sure. They'd probably benefit from a season at League One level. Kieran obviously mentioned Lucas Williamson to us, scored a cracking goal just very recently. Just 18, I think he is as well. So I think I'm thinking as well along those lines. Like Blair Malcolm is pretty young as well. Nathan Gilhooy is pretty young too. Yeah, I can't see many of them moving on to full-time football, and that's going to be the sticking point for a lot of this side.
Yeah, it will be, and I think a lot of this team probably will stick together. As much as I said, it's kind of maybe a case that some of the players have been there a bit too long, but you'd think, as you kind of rightly say, are there going to be many players wanting to leave unless they get a kind of part-time offer closer to where they currently stay? I mean, I can't really see many of them leaving Alloa. Typically just dish out one-year deals and just kind of work on it that way. But it'll be interesting to see, obviously, how they approach things, given the kind of contractual situation. Like I said, one-year deals, they do have a kind of opportunity, depending on who the manager is, to really go down a different path. And I think that could actually help them, obviously, in League One. I think maybe not the most attractive club in League One compared to the other ones that are maybe there, but obviously, we love Alloa, and hopefully, if they do, well, it looks like they're going down. Hopefully, they can bounce right back.
I just Googled it, and I said that Blair Malcolm was a young player. He's actually 24. So I just wanted to correct myself there before. After he listens. Let's move on to Arbroath, then Cammy, as well. Obviously, in eighth spot at the moment, absolute huge win over Alloa at the weekend there, and Jack Hamilton had a massive impact as well. I had a quick look at it. He's got 5 league goals for Arbroath now this season, and so many of them have been huge goals. He got a winner against Morton earlier on in the season, and a 1-0 win, and he got equalisers against Cali Thistle and Alloa earlier on in the season too, and he opened the scoring on Saturday with a really good finish.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at Arbroath, it's just kind of mental to consider how things have went for them. At the kind of start of the year, we were joking they're never going to lose again. They went on, what, was it a 6 or 7 match unbeaten run, picked up 4 or 5 wins in that run, and really looked like things were going to turn round. They were kind of pushing on the, kind of knocking on the door of the playoffs. But then kind of since then, obviously, the pure championship curse, that they've just kind of completely fallen off a cliff. But certainly Saturday's 2-1 win over ours, absolutely humongous. I think looking at the kind of when the results were when the goals were going in, the table was changing, whatnot, you were just thinking like that is probably the game that has saved them. Just I'm saying saved, when I say saved, I mean saved from the automatic relegation. I think that was the kind of nail in Alloa's coffin. Alloa really had to win that one, but Arbroath, as you say, Jack Hamilton's come in and scored a ton of goals, and you just wonder where Arbroath could have been had he been there all season. And I think we've said kind of something similar regarding Innes Cameron at Alloa as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just looking back at Arbroath's run of form, Cammy, when you said that they were never going to lose again. They went 8 matches unbeaten from the 16th of January to the end of February. And just as you said, imagine that they hadn't gone on that run. They'd be absolutely doomed at the bottom of the league, alongside Alloa, and probably in a worse position than Alloa. But I think the move that they made to bring in Jack Hamilton, like I said already, was an absolute shrewd one. He's been superb. Ben Williamson obviously arrived on loan from Rangers too. And another loan that made the difference on Saturday was Nicky Lowe coming in from East Stirling. 29 now. I thought he was actually older. I'm not having a good night for how old I think players are. But yeah, he provided that assist for Jack Hamilton for his opening goal. And a lot of the old boys that have done the business for Arbroath so far this season. Bobby Lynn is obviously out, I think, for the rest of the season now, but he had a cracking run of form over that period where they were seemed to be pretty unstoppable. And the boys at the back, in terms of Ricky Little, Colin Hamilton and Jason Thompson, have all had good seasons as well. Obviously, Thomas O'Brien as well. And Derek Gaston at the back, who's 33 now. If Arbroath go down, which again is quite uncertain at the moment, but do you think it'll be a similar situation to Alloa, where maybe it looks like they might stay together again, or do you think Dick Campbell will rip things up and try and rebuild?
It'll be interesting to see how it goes, because I know when Arbroath, like obviously James Cregan joined them permanently, I think that was a 3-year deal he joined them on. Thomas O'Brien, was it last summer, signed a 3-year deal. So I think they do have a few players tied up long term. I think we have certainly expressed some concerns over their squad kind of size. They did obviously in January kind of bring in a few names. Obviously Lowe, as you said, kind of come in more recently. I think it will be interesting. They'll certainly be an attractive team. Dick Campbell is a very much loved figure, and I think many kind of part-time players would love to play under Dick Campbell, and obviously we know Dick Campbell's getting on a bit, so he's maybe not got many seasons left in management. And I think certainly if I was a part-time player kind of hoping to get the chance, I'd certainly be trying to get under Dick Campbell and just have that experience, because I think that would be a really fun experience to have. But yeah, I think Arbroath, a lot of loanees in that team prior to a lot of the loanees coming in, that there were, I think, some gaps. We'd kind of obviously express lots of concerns about the striking options. And yeah, Hamilton's coming in, kind of saved the day there for them. And as you say, that kind of run's really the run that saved them, because I think, what were they, 4 or 5 points for weeks and weeks and weeks, and didn't look like they were ever going to find a kind of run of form, but they did. And it's something that Alloa haven't, and that's ultimately why there's such a gap between the sides now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great point about kind of playing under Dick Campbell as well. That's why so many of the players move there, and that players see that, and prospective players see that as well, and they want to go to a club that looks stable. And I think that will probably stand Alloa and Arbroath in really good stead going forward. Obviously, because they've been the two best part-time teams in the country now for the last couple of seasons. But I think even if they both go down, or if one of them goes down, I don't think that they'll have any trouble in attracting the best part-time players in the country, just with how stable Alloa have been and how well they play football, and obviously with Dick Campbell in charge, Arbroath as well. The other contenders for relegation then are, as you were saying earlier, Cammy, we've not been very good at predictions this season. Ayr United, who I predicted, we'll just remind everybody again, to be second at the start of this season. Obviously, David Hopkins in charge now, and things looked like they might have been okay when they picked up a 3-1 win over Dundee in the middle of last month. But the 3-0 loss against Dundee last night kind of bookended things, and being dumped out the Scottish Cup on Saturday against Clyde as well. Things don't look great at Somerset at the moment, and I think the fans are already starting to turn a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we've seen the team, we really like the team. They're obviously a team who've been in the Championship a few seasons, done really well with a squad that's not full of kind of big names. So they had Shankland and Alan Forrest, but when you kind of look at it, it's not many what I think you would say are household names. Maybe Aaron Muirhead's obviously a name that I think many will know. Luke McEwen, perhaps due to our love for him, and Michael Moffat. But other than that, it's quite a young squad. And I think one of the questions that we did get was, do they have a lack of leaders? And when you look at the ages of the players, Michael Moffat's 36. Who else have we got? That's the only other player that's 30 or above is Aaron Muirhead. Most of the rest of the team are kind of early 20s, and you wonder, is this maybe an Ayr team that in a year or two's time could be quite a good team just once the young players find their feet, or is it just a case of they do need one or two more experienced heads? Obviously, they had Cammy Smith, who I'm going to do a U here, and I can't think off the top of my head how old he is, but I don't think he's too old, but he was obviously someone who's been about for a while and obviously left. He's now got an opportunity to play in the US. I can't remember the name of the club he's went to, but
Indy 11.
There you go. I'm sure you've got a strange love for Indy 11. I can't remember why, but...
Well, I actually interviewed their manager last year for the Pure Football podcast. So if anybody's listening to this and they want to scroll down and find that podcast, then feel free. He's actually a Scottish guy who is a big Falkirk fan. So yeah, it was a really interesting move for Cammy Smith, and obviously a strange time for it to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with the kind of COVID restrictions and need to get visas. I think the thing I'd read with his interviews, he had to go to Poland to get a visa to get to the US, and yeah, it was just, I think it was a bit of a blow. He did score quite a few goals during this time for the club, and you look at kind of his other current striking options, and yeah, there's not many kind of names that I'd be like, yeah, fantastic.
Andre Wright's come in and basically been injured. He barely made a dent. Mark McKenzie scored, I think, his first goal for the club the other week. Craig Moore's been out injured all season. I think he picked up a season-ending injury at the start of the season. And then, as you said, Cammy, Michael Moffat, a great goal scorer over the years for the club, but he's just not quite been at that same level this season. We did chat to Gary Savage, who's a big fan of the podcast, who's Motley123Rock on Twitter, big Ayr fan. He was the one that mentioned the lack of leaders, Cammy, and he also pointed out that obviously in the summer they lost Ross Docherty to Thistle, Andy Geggan left, Jamie Adams as well, and Stephen Bell. Four big characters in that changing room and kind of a spine of a team as well, all really not replaced that well.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at those names, they were all players who'd been at Ayr for a few seasons, especially Geggan and Bell. And yes, I think they were getting on a bit, much like kind of Mark Kerr, who up until, I mean, recently, was still kind of putting himself in the team every so often. And I think that did really make a difference for Ayr, just kind of having that. I think you always pointed out the fact that when Kerr did play for Ayr, especially last season, they were a much better team. When he came out the team, they always just seemed to collapse. And it does just seem like they need those kind of experienced heads to help those younger lads kind of do well. And yeah, I think much like kind of Arbroath's kind of situation, Ayr's is very uncertain as well. It's a very bizarre one.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've mentioned him a few times as we've been doing the podcast with my best mate Grant, is an Ayr fan as well, and he's just full on doomsday scenario. He doesn't think they'll win any games now up until the end of the season. And one of the players who I think in the early days of the season we mentioned quite a bit of, but one that seems to be almost a scapegoat for Ayr United fans at the moment is Tom Walsh. Ayr fans are not happy. Sorry, I'm going to start that again because it's Joe Chalmers. Yeah, one that I mention him quite a lot, but one of my best mates, Grant, is a massive Ayr fan, and he's full on doomsday scenario at the moment, where he doesn't think they're going to win from now until the end of the season. And obviously, if that happens and other teams around them at the bottom there do the same, then Ayr will be safe. But that remains to be seen at the moment. One of the players that we actually talked about quite a lot, I feel like, at the start of the season, who now seems to be the scapegoat for Ayr United's fan frustration is Joe Chalmers. I think he's probably getting the brunt of the frustration because he's almost like a luxury in that midfield, and it feels like they're maybe at that stage now where they just need some battlers in the middle of the park that are putting in some maximum effort, and Chalmers is not quite that sort of player, is he?
No, he's not that sort of player. Obviously, I think when he was at Inverness, he was getting a lot of assists and stuff like that. And I think if he was able to kind of do that regularly in this Ayr team, there wouldn't be many complaints. I think when you've got a player who you know was able to do that and pop up with a few goals and then just isn't doing it, it's quite easily quite easy to be frustrated, but I think his problems certainly lie deeper than just Joe Chalmers. There's a lot of things that have just not really went right for Ayer. It was just, that's been far too many kind of, sort of far too long in between wins and stuff like that. Obviously, when we had Kenny Crawford on the podcast, kind of what, the end of January, start of February time, they'd just beaten Alloa 4-1, and we were like, right, this is it. This was the Ayer we were expecting to see. But yeah, they've just been awful since, only two wins in the league since that time. And yeah, it's just not really looking good, as you said. The loss to Clyde, League One Clyde, must be a bit of a sore one. And then well beaten by Dundee last night. And a final four of Dunfermline, Arbroath, Queen of the South and then Inverness. So certainly not an easy final four with them facing teams kind of in and around them and two teams pushing for the playoffs.
No, definitely not. I think there was a stat earlier on that I think Ayr have like three wins in the last 17 or something like that, and Morton have got two wins in the last 15. Or those stats might be completely wrong, so somebody can definitely shoot me down for that. But even off on the top of those stats, it just doesn't look like nice reading for both of those sides. And the fight to stay up in the league and avoid that promotion playoff, the relegation playoff spot, is definitely going to be tight up until the end of the season. One team, Cammy, that we thought might be down there a few weeks back and who have completely shown us up is Inverness, Caledonian Thistle. Where did this run of form come from?
I have absolutely no idea, and I'd like to apologise to Neil McCann as well, because when we done that live podcast, there was one of the, it might have been Come on the Rocks, it said, if you could get a fleet of fish and Neil McCann, how many of those fish would you pick before you appointed Neil McCann? And I mean, you and I weren't really all that excited by this appointment. Obviously, John Robertson had to step away for personal reasons, and we really thought that was going to be the end for Inverness. They had, at that stage, they'd barely played. There was just so many call-offs, and I mean, they've now played one of the most games, if not the most games in the division, if I'm not wrong. It's just mental how they've kind of turned this round and are now in the playoffs. Granted, they've not got that place kind of secure, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how secure it is. If they finish there at the end of the season, that's them. Well, that's them in the playoffs. And I think it's been a strange season for Inverness. We've seen kind of early doors. We sang the praises of the young players, and especially Nikolai Todorov. Todorov kind of went out the team, wasn't scoring, but I mean, against Morton the other night, he scored two absolute cracking goals, almost identical goals, really, just opposite ends of the pitch. And I mean, I think this Inverness team was one that we maybe said will be a better team next season or the season after, given all the young players. But it seems to have happened much sooner than that. Obviously, all the young players still playing regularly. It clearly wasn't just we've not really got many players, we'll just throw them in. They've come in, they've done really well, and Inverness have really kind of bought into these young guys who are paying them back entirely. And I think next season could be a really interesting one for Inverness and their fans.
It's a strange one as well because, if you look at the form, Morton are the last team to actually beat Inverness, and that was on the 9th of March. Since then, Inverness are unbeaten. They've only conceded, I'm looking at it, 5 goals in that time across 8 matches. Two of those 5 were against Bucky Thistle in the second round of the Scottish Cup. And obviously the other two were in the last two matches. Morton got a goal back, a kind of consolation against them, and then Ross County scored against them on Friday night in the Scottish Cup. But Inverness's form has actually been built on a kind of makeshift back four. Recently too. Robbie Dees has been shifted out to left back for quite some time, and you and I have been constantly debating how David Carson continually gets in the SPFL Team of the Week, but he seems to be reborn at right back for Inverness as well. Wallace Duffy can't get back in the side, and Cameron Harper, who was great in the early parts of the season, he missed out a few weeks with injury, and now he can't get back in the side either. Robbie Dees is keeping him out, so they are continually showing that they are a good side. Neil McCann has come in. He had that spell where he couldn't pick up a win. They lost against Dundee. They had a couple of draws, and like I said, lost against Morton. But since then, they've been superb, and that was culminated in their last two matches, probably, where they completely turned Ross County over in the Scottish Cup. And like I said earlier on, when we were talking about Morton, they didn't even need to try almost last night and won 4-1. And as you said as well, Cammy, a couple of cracking goals from Nikolai Todorov, who's a striker I've been a big fan of for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and I mean, adding on to the kind of thing with Ross County, I think that certainly bodes well for the playoffs, because if they know they can beat a team in the Premiership quite convincingly already, granted Ross County aren't in that playoff spot at the moment to come down, but they're not far away from it. And I mean, I think if Inverness manage to navigate themselves past the kind of other Championship teams and then get to face Ross County again, I mean, that's sure to give them a lot of confidence. But then even if they face Kilmarnock or Hamilton, who are currently 11th and 12th in the Premiership, I mean, they'd surely fancy their chances given they've beaten a team already above. I know football doesn't entirely work like that, but I mean, yeah, I think Inverness are a team who have found form at the right kind of stage of the season, whilst many other teams are faltering. Inverness are just kind of steaming ahead, and as you say, won, what, 6 in a row, including all competitions. So yeah, I think McCann, as much as we kind of laughed at him, he made some strange decisions early on. Whatever he's done since the kind of first 3 or 4 games, it has been spot on and fantastic. And Inverness, I think, may be a bit annoyed that they couldn't have found this form immediately as McCann came in, because we could have been looking at, I'm not saying a title race, but Inverness could have been quite a bit higher up the table had they not made a mess of those kind of first 4 or 5 games under McCann's time in charge.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we were, like you said, we talked about the young guns early on in the season, because they'd had a good start. And I did write about them on the Pure Football website, which you can still go and read, because those young guns are still doing the business. Another cracking goal last night from Daniel Mackay. Roddy McGregor was superb in centre midfield as well. Scott Allardyce is still just 23. And yeah, I think they are only going to get better. Sticking on the playoff spots side, Cammy, well, actually, I mean, they're not quite out of either race, to be honest, yet, but let's talk about Queen of the South a little bit. They were a bit unlucky that we didn't podcast last week, because obviously they beat Hearts for, I think, the first time in 60 years, I think it was, or something like that. And Isaiah Jones was back on Monday night for their kind of defeat against Hibs in the Scottish Cup, which is a big boost for them. I had a quick chat with Finlay Jack earlier, and he's wondering whether we think they'll make the playoffs.
I mean, he didn't specify which playoffs, because as you say, they're kind of right in the middle. One went outside of the playoffs, and I mean, only 5 points out of the relegation playoffs. Do have a game in hand on Morton, as well as kind of fourth place Inverness. So, I mean, yeah, it's really difficult. Queen of the South for a team we pretty much had written off before the season had even began. We said they were terrible, they were kind of destined to go down, and they also had that fantastic run of form lately. And yes, the form's kind of been a wee bit traffic lighty in the past few weeks. A few defeats obviously haven't helped, but I mean, that result against Hearts was obviously massive. And you kind of look at their kind of final fixtures, 4 of them are against kind of promotion kind of playoff hopefuls. Inverness this weekend, then they face Raith Rovers on the following Tuesday, then Dunfermline, then face Ayr, and then finish the season at home to Dundee. And I mean, yeah, I think if Queen of the South managed to find their way past all these teams, they more than deserve their playoff spot, as much as we very wrongly wrote them off at the start of the season.
Well, I think if you look at those fixtures as well, Cammy, maybe on paper they look like probably one of the toughest run-ins of the last couple of fixtures of any of the teams. But if we're thinking their recent form, then you look at their past fixtures against these 5 teams that they've got. They beat Inverness 1-0 the last time they played them. They beat Raith Rovers 2-0 last time they played them. They beat Dunfermline 1-0 last time they played them. Ayr United, they beat 3-2 last time they played them. And Dundee, they beat them 3-2 last time they played them as well. So all 5 of these teams they've already beaten this season, and that cracking run of form that they had. Yes, it kind of got faltered a little bit when Alloa and Morton beat them in consecutive weeks, but that win against Hearts was superb a couple of weeks back. And if they can get those positive fixtures, positive results in these last five, then I think they could be knocking on the door of the promotion playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Queen of the South are perhaps the most interesting team kind of remaining in the division, I think, because they're kind of, I think, underdogs for the playoffs, but then kind of, as I say, not quite out of the relegation, whereas I think you can say most of the teams are in one or the other, even though my pals, as folk will love to hear me say,
are only
1 point ahead. It doesn't seem quite like the Pals will get dragged in. As much as I've said we could well make the relegation playoffs, but I think as Isaiah Jones coming back, he was a player who certainly impressed us when he arrived on loan, and he went down injured, was it against Arbroath a few weeks ago? And yeah, I mean, without him, they've certainly been a worse team. Stephen Dobby obviously hasn't been fantastic this season, but Isaiah Jones added a bit of excitement to the team, very quick, very, very kind of skillful. And I think, yeah, him coming back is going to be massive for them and their running, which I think, as you say, is perhaps the toughest of any team in the remainder of the season.
On paper, anyway, it's the Scottish Championship, so fully expecting five wins there from Queen of the South and them to get promoted at some point. Let's move on quickly, Cammy. Raith Rovers, let's touch on them. So one of the things we got asked was from Aerodunknamic on Twitter, who is at Barbecue Lou. Big fan of the podcast. He keeps joining us on Pure Goals every weekend as well. So cheers for that, Lou, and cheers for your support, and cheers for the question. The pre-contract moves that Raith Rovers have made, how impressed or unimpressed are we with them for next season?
I mean, they started off well and they just seem to have got worse. And I mean, maybe that's just me being a Pars fan and wanting to not be all that positive. But I mean, Tam Lang coming in on a pre-contract from Clyde, I know you certainly, when we were talking about it, it kind of expressed doubts about whether he's any good. Obviously, came to the Pars after a good season with Clyde and didn't really play for the Pars, but has went back to Clyde and has seemingly done well again. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep himself obviously fit. And then, yeah, I mean, I think that was an interesting one. We've seen Raith pick up lots of young players and obviously kind of make the most of these young players. They do have quite a young squad when you kind of don't count the defence, which is quite an old defence. But yeah, his was an interesting signing. Then I think, did they follow that with James Keaton's? And then I was like, well, yeah, it's not too bad. And then in came Dario Zanata, who I think a few seasons ago, after that spell that he had on loan at Alloa, I'd been really excited to have. But he's not really done anything at Ayr. He also had big kind of shoes to fill in Alan Forrest and hasn't really done that and hasn't really stood out for us quite how we'd have expected to. And then they added in Christoph Berra. Now, on paper, this sounds like a fantastic signing for Raith. Say former Scotland international, played over probably 300 times for Hearts, captained them. But I mean, they've already got quite an old defender, Ian Davidson. He's 37. They're going to be adding what, another one in Berra. And yeah, I'm not sure about this one. Berra's not played all that well. Also had that spell on loan at Dundee last season as well. And granted, they did quite well then, but we're now what, 18 months on from that. And yeah, I'm 18 months, just a year on from that. And I'm not too sure about this one. I think in terms of the youth development Raith have, I think he's a fantastic figure to have. But then when you've also got Kyle Benedictus, say, Frankie Musonda, Fernandi Mendy, there's a lot of players for that kind of centre-back role. And obviously, Tam Lang's a centre-half as well. So whether this is maybe John McGlynn hinting that there's maybe going to be a system change, I'm not sure, or it maybe just says a lot about where some of these other players are going to go, because whilst a lot of the young and perhaps more promising players are signed up long term, a lot of players are out of contract at the end of the season. Masonda's out of contract, Mendy's out of contract, Davidson's out of contract, like I'd said. Who else have they got? Regan Hendry, Adam King, Brad Spencer, Dan Armstrong, Manny Duku, Lewis Vaughan, Gozi Ugwu. Like, there's no shortage of kind of players out of contract, so it'll be interesting to see the kind of route they go down.
Yeah, I agree with you, Cammy. I think I've not been massively enamoured by the signings that they've made. I really like that they're actually doing their business very early and identifying these players and getting them signed up for the season and knowing that these players will be coming in and knowing what they've got to work with early doors for the start of next season. Because, well, it's an interesting one too, because at the moment they don't know what league they're going to be in. I think, and you probably think as well, that they're now stick on for the playoffs. If they finish second in the league, then that's obviously a great position for them to be in going into the playoffs too. I think we can probably not talk about them as it feels like a disservice not to talk about them, as they obviously just got promoted for this season too, but they've been so good over the course of the season that it now feels like we just talk about them as another team in the league, because they have been so good and they've taken the league by storm. So I think it'll be interesting to see what does happen if they do go up, and the unthinkable happens, and what happens with these players, because I don't necessarily think that they're Premiership quality players by any stretch. Obviously, like you said, Berra's got an incredible pedigree behind him, but he's not getting any younger. I don't think Tam Lang is a Scottish Premiership player at the moment. James Keatings seems to be allergic to the Scottish Premiership because he can't stop coming back to the Championship. And then Zanata, as you said, he's not really done anything so far over the past couple of years. So I don't know what the plan is there, but it'll be very interesting to see what does happen over the season. And Cammy, one of the other questions that we got, which I think was from Scott Fleming, that you chatted to him earlier, was who do we think will attract interest at Raith? And I think you went through a few of those names already, Regan Hendry being the standout for me.
Yeah, same for me. I think Regan Hendry, especially against Dunfermline, the 5-1 win last week, he was absolutely superb, and I think we've sang his praises so many times this season, and I think there has been kind of some links with Premiership clubs, but I'd like to think that his ceiling's a bit higher than that. Obviously, I couldn't see him going right into the Celtic or Rangers team, obviously a former Celtic youth player as well, but maybe an interesting one for Hearts to perhaps poach and obviously build a midfield of him and Andy Irving. But even then, I'd like to see him kind of go down south, because I think he really is that good. I think if he'd asked me this question after about 3 weeks of the season, I'd have said Manny Duku should be playing for Manchester City or Chelsea or Man United. But yeah, his form's kind of fallen off. He's not really been in the team. Frankie Masonda, though, maybe an outside bet at maybe having a bit of interest. Obviously, a player who's popped up with plenty of goals, been quite solid defensively. But I think, as you say, the real standout in this Raith team has been Regan Hendry.
Definitely. And with him being out of contract in the summer, as you pointed out, Cammy, then that's a easy pickup for, I mean, the whole of the Scottish Premiership should be looking at him, maybe even if he got a move back to Celtic. That might be a bit of a stretch, but he could be a decent squad player there. Obviously came through the ranks there too, so could be a really easy pickup. Maybe that's me being a little bit football managery there. Let's talk about Dundee then as our final potential playoff hopefuls. Owen was asking us, why have they conceded so many goals, Cammy? They've conceded the third most in the league, but they're actually the second highest scorers in the league. I think for me, this just comes down to that massive inconsistency that they've had all season.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many results, and I think let's not forget that they got absolutely battered off the Hearts right at the start of the season, which, yeah, I mean, that added a lot of goals to that tally. You take that kind of out, and I mean, they're not too different to most of the other teams in the league if you kind of forget the 6-2 loss. And yeah, there's been plenty of other games where they've conceded three or four, and well, maybe not four, but certainly three. They conceded three against Dunfermline, just recently another two against Dunfermline as well. So there has been games where...
Three against Alloa that night that you were commentating as well.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, as much as they'll maybe score two or three goals every week, it just seems like they're never far away from letting in the same amount at the same time. And granted, in recent weeks that they're on a three-match winning run in the league, they've scored 9 goals in that time, only conceded 2, so things do look a bit better. But as you say, it's just been so inconsistent. Kind of January, February was a really kind of inconsistent month, and I think a month where pressure really, really kind of mounted on James McPake, who we've always kind of said hasn't convinced us, is always never really convinced Dundee fans. I think most of them are always raging with him. But, I mean, yeah, I think it's probably safe to say they're a stick on for the playoffs as well. They're the same amount of points as Raith Rovers. And, yeah, I think provided that they can beat my Pars in a few weeks, that'll
take
be them kind of secure. I'm just saying this because of that tweet that Gav put out that time and what we're saying about 50 or 60 times, just seeing how close I can get to that. But yeah, I think Dundee, they'll be annoyed at this season as much as making the playoffs is kind of probably what their aim was. But I think without a doubt, they'd have wanted to have challenged Hearts far more than they have. And next season, I think it'll be a really interesting one. Not sure who will be in charge of it. Maybe Robbie Nielsen. We know he loves taking over the kind of possibly best team in the Championship each year. And yeah, maybe wants to get revenge on Dundee United for parting ways with him at the end. Kind of him taking them up, takes Dundee up. And yeah, that's just me thinking out loud. But I mean, it will be interesting to see what Dundee do. Jason Cummins is coming in, done really well. I don't quite think they'd be in a place to let him go. Obviously, Charlie Adams there as well. His form's not been as good. But when you look at Dundee's team and just the names in it, it's certainly a very good team.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, we chatted to Liam Fontaine earlier on this season too. He initially came in and that form turned round and he picked up an injury and form kind of was back down again, and it seems to have been the way of this season so far. Finn Robertson's barely been seen all season as well. We loved him last season. Charlie Adam, we named him the best player in the Championship when we were chatting to the guys from Talking Lower League, and since then he's hardly done anything. It's been a very, very strange season for Dundee. Thinking again, what another one of the players, as I look through the squad in front of me, is Osman Sow. He came from absolute nowhere, scored, became basically top scorer in the league, and has just fallen off a cliff again. I don't think he's scored since.
It was since I said he should have won the Ballon d'Or. He's just completely fallen off a cliff, and I'm sorry for that, Osman. You were doing really well, but yeah, it's been bizarre. Thankfully for Dundee, though, Cummins has come in and has quite a good record, if I'm not wrong. And obviously, they've got plenty of options. Paul McMillan's obviously come in kind of on loan ahead of his pre-contract move from Dundee. And yeah, I mean, he, what is it, 8 assists in nearly as many games or something? I think we'd mentioned it on the last podcast or the one before that. So him coming in certainly been massive. And I think Dundee are a team who can look forward to next season. It may even be in the Premiership, depending on how the playoffs go, but certainly if they're in the Championship, I think they will probably be the favourites.
Yeah, Jason Cummings got 5 and 10, which you can't argue with since coming in. And Paul McMillan, I think it is 8 assists in the league as well, so in basically as many matches. So they've been key to form kind of turning back around again for James McPake and Dundee. I think the only team we've got left to talk about, Cammy, is Hearts, but we probably don't have too much to say about them, because we should probably just say that you were recently on a podcast, if you want to plug that to the listeners.
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned it earlier on. It was the Perth to Paisley podcast done by Pure Championship, kind of former guest Adam Kennedy and a fellow co-host of his, Daniel McIver, kind of reviewed the recent Pars Hearts kind of bore fest and just kind of discussed all things Hearts, kind of the managerial situation and kind of all that kind of jazz. And it was quite an interesting chat. Nice to kind of enrage Adam by saying I think Nielsen's maybe being a bit harshly treated, as much as we've said they've kind of slept walked to the title, much like his Dundee United side. I think it's quite hard to say that he should be sacked now, given they're that much clear. Yes, it could have been a lot prettier, but I mean, I think anyone would sign up for a league title playing shite football. Yes, Hearts fans have every reason to not be happy with the style of football, but let's be honest, I don't think Nielsen's going to be there next season. Yes, I've just said he shouldn't be sacked now, but that's more in reference to the Championship. How can you sack a manager who has the team, what, 11 clear at the top of the league or something like that? Never really had any doubts that they weren't not going to win the title, and yeah, I think the best thing for Hearts would be get the job done. I think it's what four or five points you need from the last four. And yeah, you'd fancy them to get that quite quickly. It could be less depending on other results. And I think at the end of the season, Ann Budge can just thank Robbie Nielsen. They can go their separate ways and Hearts can look to change things in the Premiership, because I don't think many fans would be happy if he stayed at the team past the end of this season.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what happens in the summer. Owen and Gavin also covered Hearts on this week's main Pure Football podcast, so go and have a listen to that as well. We did get another couple of questions from people, but we are kind of coming to time, and I'm getting absolute roasting sitting in this room that I'm in. So we'll maybe cover them on next week's podcast.
Or One More Dancers.
Or One More Dancers, yeah, true. Let's go quick fire. Right, come on then, let's do it. So, come on the rocks, CM on the rocks. Big supporter recently on Pure Goals as well, so thank you very much for that. Assuming one up and one down from the Championship, who would we like to see in the division, obviously from the Premiership and from League One next season?
From League One, I'll start in League One. I'd like to hope Hove Rangers and Montrose somehow get up. Obviously, it looks like Falkirk will win the league. That's definitely not a certainty. The kind of top half of League One is very, very tight at the moment. But Cove Rangers and Montrose, purely for the selfish fact that the two grounds have not been to, and hopefully, given the kind of recent news about fans probably being allowed in at Hampden for the Euros, I'd like to hope fans will be back in Scottish kind of league games next season. So that would be two I'd quite like in the league, purely for that reason. As for from the Premiership, probably Hamilton, purely for the fact they've hung on for so long. But I think compared to your likes of Kilmarnock, Ross County, who are kind of just above them, Ross County would come down. We've seen how they done when they were last in the league, that they've got no shortage of money and stuff like that. I think that would kind of not ruin the league, but it would kind of make it a bit obvious again, and you'd really fancy them to go right back up, given the kind of money and pool that they seem to have. They'd raid the Inverness team, and that would kind of be that. Kilmarnock, Ali, who's obviously part of the Pure Football team, might not thank me for this. If they came down, I don't know how I'd think about that, but you'd think they'd probably have a decent bit of money, probably bigger than maybe everyone bar Dundee in the division, so I'd say Hamilton, just for the fact that I think it would be easier for my pars to benefit. But yeah, I think, what about you?
Good word answers from you there, Cammy, by the way. Scottish Premiership, I'm probably going to say Hamilton as well, just for potential ease of fixtures against them next season. Because I agree with Ross County and Kelly as well, being tougher to play against next season, because they all want to get out of the league and back up to the Premiership as quickly as possible again, given, as you said, how Ross County were when they were last in the league. From League One, if Morton stay in the league, then I probably want Falkirk to come up for kind of patter purposes again, potentially even Falkirk or Thistle, just because we have a bit of a rivalry now with both teams, and it's always funny when we beat Falkirk, and when it's great when we beat Partick Thistle, but it's horrific when Partick Thistle beat us. So yeah, I'd probably say one of them, although I think they'll be very strong Championship teams if they do both or either of them come up next season, or even both of them. So yeah, I'm not looking forward to either of them coming up, but I also think that they could be good additions to the Championship too. Ross Henderson, who's Ross1910 on Twitter, says, has there been anything positive about this season barring Raith Rovers?
Arbroath's commentator.
That's a great shout. Yeah, that is a really good shout. Maybe just for us, in terms of like getting to chat to some players from the league as well. I really enjoyed doing that when we haven't really had a chance to do it much in the second half of this season too much. I think we've probably been a bit lazy as well, Cammy, to be honest. We've not really been asking, so we probably should before the season ends. But I really enjoyed the interviews that we've done, so they've been a positive for me.
Yeah, absolutely, and they've been fantastic. And hopefully we managed to maybe get a few done by then, but well, before the season ends, and obviously next season get plenty of them as well, because it's something that I think it's really added to our coverage. Yes, that's us tooting our own horn, but I think, yeah, it's just been really good getting to bring, obviously, we bring the championship to you, and we've had many people kind of comment saying, I don't watch the games, but I like how I'm kind of being made aware of the rest of the league and the goings on. And I just like to think that that's kind of that bit nicer as well. It's obviously great for me and Chris, lovers of the championship, to be able to get that interaction ourselves, but then to just bring that to everyone else and let them meet the kind of players of their clubs and stuff like that. So yeah, hopefully we can get more of them sorted.
Definitely. Which teams coped best with the shortened season? That's from John Fraser, who is at Jeff as in Jeff on Twitter.
I'll say Hearts, purely for the fact they've not had to be in the division as long as they typically would. Obviously, Hearts fans wanted out as quickly as possible. And yeah, they've pretty much done it quite easily. They've got the title pretty much wrapped up, and I'm not sure who else you could really say for this one.
Maybe Raith Rovers, just because they've been able to come in, take the league by storm, probably take teams by surprise a little bit, especially in the early part of the season when they were kind of laying waste to anything in front of them. I'm thinking when they took Queen of the South apart, when they took Morton apart. I don't think either team was probably prepared quite for that, and obviously sitting in second place. So I think they've coped very well with this shortened season, and it'll do them in good stead. Owen asked us a couple of questions as well. So which manager has impressed us most? It's probably going to be John McGlynn there, surely, isn't it?
Yep, yeah, McGlynn. And then I think if we're to maybe extend that a little bit, maybe Neil McCann, obviously, as we said, has really turned things around and completely proved us wrong. Then Alan Johnson, you know Mark and the thoughts on Alan Johnson with how things ended at Dunfermline, but the way he kind of turned things around for Queens after a dodgy start, I think he deserves some credit. But I think McGlynn is certainly the manager who's impressed us the most.
It'll be pretty impressive if David Hopkin manages to take two teams down, if Morton and Andy are both get relegated. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. This last question from Owen as well is a really tricky one. Who's been the best player in the league? Or who is the best player in the league, sorry?
Oof. I mean, it's so difficult because there's obviously so many positions, so many players have had good runs of form, but I don't think there's been a player who's been consistently good the whole season. I think Hearts fans are probably shouting, Craig Gordon, but I mean, can you really give the best player in the league award to a goalkeeper? I'm not so sure. I think
a goalkeeper of the team who's top of the league so far ahead, that is a strange one, yeah.
Obviously, Gordon has been fantastic, saved Hearts many, many times, but I'm not sure you could say he's the best player purely for the fact that they were expected to do so well anyway.
What about players you like watching then?
Players are like watching, that's probably a bit easier, isn't it? Or players who've impressed me, certainly Regan Hendry, the young boys at Inverness, Jason Cummins is obviously coming and done well, Charles Adam is fantastic early doors. I think I'll probably go with them. If Dom Thomas and Ewan Murray had maybe kept up their early season form, I would have certainly said them. But yeah, Ennis Cameron as well at Alloa, I think he's a player who, as we said earlier on, if it was in sooner, we could have been looking at something completely different. But yeah, what about you?
I was going to say Andy Irvine, because I just think he's got a bit of a wand of a left foot. And talking of wands of left foots, obviously Stephen Kingsley impressed us so much in those early months of the season too, and I loved watching him for Hearts. In terms of like redemption story, probably Ayo Obalai. I remember slating him for probably all six of the goals that Queen of the South conceded against Hearts last year. And for him to have that turnaround and move into midfield and be second top goal scorer in the league with 9 goals, I just... Fair play to Ayo Obalai.
Another player, while we're talking about Queen of the South players, Willie Gibson for a redemption story as well. Fantastic. He's been fantastic at right back, and I think he certainly deserves a wee shout out.
True. And Connor Shields as well. We probably shouldn't forget him. Yeah. Some run of form he had as well. And I just want to mention Todorov as well, because I talked about him quite a lot in the early stages of the season too. And to see him, albeit scored those cracking goals against Morton last night, but they were two incredible finishes if you haven't seen them yet. So I would recommend to go and watch them from a neutral perspective in the league. Yeah, that's it, Cammy. Good chatting again. We will see what happens this coming weekend with those. Well, every fixture is massive now, but we've got Hearts, Alloa to look forward to on Friday night. If Hearts can pick up a win, then they're not too far away from the title. But yeah, well, I'll speak to you next week. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Like I said, if you want to hear more about Hearts, then have a listen to Cammy on Perth to Paisley, or listen to Gavin Owen touching on them on the main podcast this week. But otherwise, we will see you next week for more Championship chat.